Well, take your Bibles and turn with you. You got a Bible to Matthew chapter number 7. And I appreciate y'all being here. You can be seated. Appreciate the visitors that have come. That's an honor to have you with us. And I believe I represent the pastor when I say that and these people. And good to see all of you. And how many's been to the revival every night? Raise your hand. Well, y'all are gluttons for punishment. I can see that. I'm nervous up here trying to decide. There's no wrong page in the Bible to preach. It's all the right pages. But I want to preach just the right thing at the right time. And so you pray for me. I'm reminded of a younger preacher that was preaching in a revival with an older preacher. And that younger preacher was going to preach first. And he was just nervous he could be. And he had never preached to a big crowd. And he was just gasping, man. He's about to hyperventilate. And he looked over to that older preacher and said, man, pray for me. He said, I'm scared to death. And he said, don't worry about it. He said, God will give you something to preach. And he said, yeah, but man, I don't know what to say to all these people. And that older preacher just patted him on the leg and said, don't worry about it, son. He said, God will give you something to preach. And he said, man, but you don't understand. I'm so nervous I left my Bible out in the truck. And I'm fixed to preach right now. And that older preacher handed him his Bible and said, use my Bible. And man, that young preacher got up, opened it to the nicest three-point outline you've ever seen with illustrations. And I mean, I'm talking about, and got to preaching like forked lightning, praise God. I mean, the touch of God was on him. And when he gave the invitation, people was getting saved and getting right with God. And he went down, handed the Bible back to that older preacher. And he said, man, I appreciate you letting me use your Bible. And the older preacher said, do you realize what you've just done? He said, you just preached my message. And I've been working on that message all week to preach this congregation. And said, you just preached my message. He said, what am I going to do? That younger preacher said, don't worry about it. He said, God will give you something to preach. Right? yeah, that's right. And somebody, I'm tired. I'm a big old overgrown something. And I know I'm morbidly obese. You don't have to rub it in, you know. Somebody told me the other day, said, don't you hate being fat? I said, but I hate being hungry worse, you know. And I'm anxious to get to that meal. But things aren't always the way they appear to be. I heard about a fellow that was walking by an insane asylum. And he kept hearing people say, 13, 13, 13. He could hear this chanting in there. 13, 13 in that insane asylum. And he couldn't see in, and it had it boarded up. And he walked by, and there's a little old hole about that big around. And he went down there and peeked through. And when he did, man, somebody poked him in the eye. And they said, 14, 14, 14, hallelujah. And I laugh, because that's about the funniest it's going to get. I'm preaching from Matthew chapter 7. If you got a red letter Bible, it's denoted dictations of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I understand all the Bibles give an inspiration of God from Genesis to Revelation. But these are direct quotations of our Savior. And I believe that the words of great men ought to be remembered. But when it's the words of Christ, man, they ought to be cherished. And he's making an announcement to humanity. This Bible is inerrant, it's infallible, it's impeccable, it's indestructible. They've been trying to tear it up and beat on it for years. It's wore out a lot of hammers. But praise God, it's still here. And thank God for the inerrant Word of God. And he's given some instructions to humanity for eternity. And let me preface everything I'm going to say this morning. Now listen real close to me. It's not all about the nasty now and now. Your life's a vapor. It's like steam coming off a coffee cup. It appears for a short time, then vanishes away. And eternity's forever and ever. The Bible said, what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world or lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The Bible said, wherefore it's appointed unto man once to die. Everybody's got a date. It's appointed. Once to die. After this, the judgment. One day we're going to stand before God eyeball to eyeball, toe to toe, look him in the eye, and answer. You say, I don't believe in that. Well, you won't have to be there about 2 seconds to start believing in it.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Y'all work at listening.
Yep.
He read, verse 13 is where I want to start in chapter 7. Y'all found it, say hallelujah. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, may I say, especially in the 21st century, which come to you in the sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. But every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Look at verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Our Heavenly Father, I stand with the arm of flesh has failed me and will indeed fail me this morning. And I thank you for salvation by grace through faith. And there are people in this room this morning who have no promise of eternity. They're lost and undone. And I pray right now the revealing work of the Holy Ghost would do what man cannot do and show them the awfulness of hell, the brevity of life, and show them the sweetness of heaven. And I pray you'd save sinners in here this morning. At the same time, I pray for the saints of God who have been saved and know you, that you'd burden them for their lost friends and loved ones, co-workers and classmates. As we know, the end is nigh. I pray you'd help us to say more and do more to reach the lost. Burden us through the message today. And Lord, for those who are lost, I pray, Lord, you'd just work in their heart and let today be the last day they're lost. And may long live old-time religion until you come. Amen. I want you to notice several things about eternity that Jesus Christ wants all mankind to know. The very first one is that there is a hell.
Yeah, right.
That destruction he's talking about there is not just a decay of the body. It's not just being put in the ground, but that separation from God. And it's a broad gate. Yeah. And hell is real. Right. I think oftentimes people identify Bible-believing preachers like myself, and they say, well, they like to preach on hell. Well, nobody likes to preach on hell.
Right.
There's no joy in that.
Right.
But they have to be warned. The Bible said, the wicked shall be cast into hell, and every nation that forgets God. That sounds like America to me.
Right.
A nation that's turned their back on God.
Right.
The wicked shall be cast into hell, and every nation that forgets God. The Bible said, the rich man died, and in hell he lifted eyes, being in torment.
Right.
He died and woke up immediately, not in a figment of his imagination, not in some make-believe place, but he woke up in a lake of fire, a place of outer darkness. Hell's a place of darkness. Hell's a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm never dieth and the fire is not quenched. It's an awful place. It's somewhere you don't want to go. I think about hell and how awful, and it's not just some temporary thing that you go and you burn up and consumed and it's all over, but it's forever and ever and ever. A bottomless pit, a lake of fire and brimstone where you never hit bottom, but you keep on falling. I'm telling you, it's awful down there in hell. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, look at me, there's people in there right now wish they could get out. Wish they could get out. Hell's real. And I'm not trying to scare you, but if I could scare the devil out of you, I would. But the truth is, you got to understand that there's only two places to go. There's no limbo. There's no purgatory. This is not Monopoly. You don't pass go and collect $200. This is the real deal, friend. When you die without Christ, you'll die and go to a devil's hell. It's sad. I find no joy. It bothers me. It ought to bother you that are saved, that know this stuff's real. There's a crowd in here who is foreign to what I'm saying. But those of you that have been passed from death unto life, you've been regenerated, you've been born from above, you've been resurrected from the dead spiritually, man, it ought to bother you that people are going to hell. And they're going to hell wide open, friend. Broad is the gate. There is a hell. I could say a whole lot more about it. A second thing I want you to see is not everybody's going to heaven.
Right. Right.
Come on.
Right.
Bible said, straight's the gate, narrow the way, and many there be which go in that broad gate. But straight's the gate, and narrow's the way that leadeth to life eternal, and few there be that find it. Look at me, friend. Watch me right here. Not everybody's going to heaven. I know universalism teaches that, you know, it just doesn't matter what you believe as long as you have some form of faith that God's not going to send anybody to hell. Well, problem is that the Bible said He will.
Yeah.
The Bible's designated a place.
Right.
It's been designated for the devil and his angels.
Yeah.
And it's there. And people that reject Christ are going there. Not everybody's going to heaven. Well, you say, I just don't agree with you. Well, let me help you just a minute. Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I'm a way.
Yeah.
I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody cometh unto the Father but by me. John 10:9, Jesus said, I'm the door. Not a door. Not an option. He said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter into the city, shall be saved and go in out and find pastures. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, that's a personal pronoun.
Right.
Not they and not them. Not it. But he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. John tells us that he's the door. He's no option to this thing. Romans said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Jesus is the way, friend. He's not an option. We're living in a day where a lot of people just think we're going, I'm a Buddhist, or I believe in Islamic teachings. I believe in some other kind of religion or some other kind of ism. Let me tell you something. Mysticism.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Star worship and gazers. That's not the door, friend. Jesus
right.
is the door.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Except a man be born again.
Yeah.
There's no exceptions for heaven. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven.
That's right.
You got to be saved by grace.
Yes,
you got to be passed from death unto life.
Right.
Amen. Now hear me. I know you want to argue that and say, well, I just don't believe somebody sincere, God would send them to hell. Look at me. Listen to me. Can everybody hear me say amen?
Amen.
My daddy worked at the post office before he became full-time in service, military, in the Lord's work. And he carried mail and he preached and bivocational, and he was preaching on Sunday. He preached on the way, Jesus. He went to work on Monday morning and was in the break room drinking coffee with some of his carriers, the mail carriers there, postal service. And they were discussing. They said, Brother Curtis, what did you preach on Sunday? And he said, I preached on the way. And one of his friends said, well, I'm sure you identified Jesus as the way. He said, oh, yes, I did. And she said, I just believe you can get to heaven other ways. And she said, listen, said, I came down East Ponce to Leon and turned right on Covenant Highway, and I made it to the post office. And she identified 78 Highway there in Georgia. Said, you came down Stone Mountain, and you came. And Bob over here, he came down from another side street, from Clarkston. But we all made it to the post office. We had different ways, but we made it to the post office. Daddy said, ma'am, that sounds real good. But when you die, you ain't going to the post office. See, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man.
Yeah.
You can rationalize and you can juggle it around, but there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the ends thereof are the ways of death,
that's
friend.
Right. Yes, sir.
No other name.
Right.
Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. And at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess, that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes.
There is no other deity that saves.
That's right.
You got to go in by the door, friend.
That's right.
Now, y'all ain't liking this, but I feel good about preaching it, praise
Amen.
God.
Go ahead.
That's how I got saved.
Amen.
I trusted him. See, there is a hell. Point number one, let's repeat together, there is a hell.
There is a hell.
Number two, not everybody's going to heaven.
Not everybody's going to heaven.
According to this text.
Yep.
In fact, number three, more people's going to hell than going to heaven.
Yep. Yep.
Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, few there be that find it. But verse 13 said, many there be which are going in that broad gate. It's popular.
That's right.
People have tried to dumb us and numb us about hell. I'm 63 years old. When I was in my teens, you never saw flames much tattooed on people or flames. You saw flames on the side of a hot rod car.
Yeah.
Like it was fire coming out of headers.
Yeah.
Now we've tried to numb ourselves down to reality.
Yeah.
We're trying to make death like there's nothing to it.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something, friend. Death without Christ is awful.
Yes, sir. Yes.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, there's no words to describe the awfulness of hell. And see, there's people need to understand that just this way to heaven, my choice is not your choice, it's His way.
Yeah.
And there is a hell. Not everybody's going to heaven. More people's going to hell than going to heaven. It bothers me.
Yes, sir.
If you're a Christian, and I saw a bunch of y'all with your Bibles, a Christian biker, a Christian whatever you are, Christian athlete, if you're a Christian, listen, whatever you are, you ought to be concerned about your brethren. We ought to be burdened for our veterans. We ought to be burdened for those we work with. Well, we've lost our burden.
That's right.
We've lost our concern.
Yes, sir.
We're more concerned over a whale dying. Somebody help me. Aborting babies by the millions, but that's no problem. Oh, no. Let me tell you something, friend. We ought to be concerned about the souls of men, women, boys, and girls.
Yes, sir.
There is a hell. Let's say that together.
There is a hell.
Number two, not everybody's going to heaven. Number three,
more people's going to hell than going to heaven.
I don't find any joy in that.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
I don't find any pleasure in preaching that. It bothers me. It bothers me. Look at number four, verse 15, beware of false prophets. Here's what Jesus wants you to know about 2025.
Yeah.
That these modern preachers will flat out lie to you.
That's right.
Yep.
Come on now.
These charlatans. These bunch of money-grabbing charlatans, a bunch of performers, ain't got no God on them whatsoever. Just a bunch of talent and maybe ability to speak, but has no touch of God, has no power of God. There's something wrong with that crowd.
That's right.
They're false prophets. And what they're doing, false prophets tell you you're okay when you're not, and they tell you that you're not okay when you are. They try to talk Christians out of being saved, make them doubt it. Cast doubt on their faith. And then they try to talk somebody who's lost into being okay where they are. By their fruits you shall know them. He said you can't turn a bad one into a good one or a good one into a bad one. And notice what he said, wherefore, verse 20, by their fruits you shall know them. Now I know immediately, there you go. Well, you're not supposed to judge.
Come on now.
The world's strumming you like a cheap banjo, friend.
Right. Come on now.
When it says in chapter 7, verse 1, notice what it says, judge not that you be not judged. That's the liberal's favorite verse.
Yeah.
That's the worldly Christian. That's the carnal Christian.
Yeah.
Amen. That's the one still got the stamp on their hand from last night's jute joint. Amen. They love to say, judge not. Well, then it says right there, it's not a conflict. It's not some kind of contradiction.
Right.
The only thing I can't judge is your motive. Are y'all still listening?
Right.
Watch me. Hey! I can judge what you do. If I go out and that black Chevrolet's gone, I'm just going to tell y'all somebody stole it. Because I didn't give them my keys.
Right.
I got to get back home. Somebody say amen. Yeah. If I go out yonder and that's gone, all my guns are gone.
Yeah.
My coon dog's gone.
Yeah.
My tracking system's gone.
Yeah.
My lights are gone.
Right.
All my pocket knives are gone. My spare clothes are gone. Somebody stole my truck because I didn't tell them to take it.
Right.
I can judge your actions.
Yeah.
I can't judge your motive. I don't know why you do what you do. But y'all stay with me.
That's right.
That's the only thing I can't judge. So don't let people strum you like a cheap banjo now.
Yes, sir.
Bible said he that spiritual judgeth all things.
Yes, sir.
We couldn't even exercise church discipline if we didn't have some kind of assessment of right and wrong.
Yeah.
Woe unto them that call good evil and evil good.
Right.
And these modern prophets, listen to me, these modern prophets are lying to y'all. Come as you are, leave as you was. No boundaries for Christianity. No expectations after conversion. That's a false doctrine, sir.
That's right.
Come out from among them, be ye separate, thus saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and I'll be a father, and you'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty.
That's right.
Holiness. Hey, man, I'm talking about living right, friend. It's a Bible teaching.
Yes, sir.
Don't bow your head. I'm not ready to pray yet. I'm still feeling like preaching right now. Hey, man. Hey, man. Look up in here, praise God. I'm talking about, friend, these false prophets will bare face lie to you and tell you what you want to hear.
Yes, sir.
He wants you to know there's a hell.
Yeah.
He wants you to know not everybody's going to heaven. He wants you to know more people's going to hell than going to heaven.
Yeah.
He wants you to know that false prophets are lying to y'all.
Yeah, sir.
Most of them on TV's lying.
Yes, sir.
Exactly right, preacher.
Yeah.
Right. Most of them on TV is a bunch of lies.
You're right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Bunch of fakes.
Yep.
Just checking y'all's blood pressure. Is everybody okay? Some of y'all looking like, what's going on here? It's called preaching in Tennessee. Is everybody listening? Verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord.
Yeah.
Y'all see verse 21? He wants you to know this. Fifth thing he wants you to know. We're moving fast. Fifth thing he wants you to know is some people who think they're going to heaven aren't going to heaven.
Yeah. That's right.
Now, it's not my goal to make you doubt your salvation if you've got it. And sir, if you've got it, I can't make you shake it.
That's right.
I can't shake you on eternal life if you've got eternal life, because there's a spirit on the inside bearing witness.
That's right.
There's the Holy Ghost on the inside and saying, you saved. But if I can talk you out of it, you ain't got much.
Yeah.
By now, if the Holy Ghost is convicting you and you're getting a little bit nervous, that ain't no tricks up my sleeve, friend. This ain't AI. This is the real thing right up here today.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
We're live. Watch me.
Yeah.
Some people think they're going to heaven, ain't going to heaven. Obviously, somebody's going to be saying, Lord, Lord. They got the vernacular down. They got all that. Amen, brother. What's up? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
They got all the term. God is good all the time, all the time. God, they got all that going on.
Right.
They could sing Amazing Grace without the book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah.
Hey, Lord.
Right.
We prophesied in your name.
Yeah.
Can you imagine preachers going to hell?
Come on.
Right. We cast out devils. I don't want to fool with them devils.
Yeah.
I got enough deacons' wives to fool with. Somebody say amen. And them their mini skirt wearing daughters. Somebody help me, friend. Everybody okay?
Yeah.
I ain't looking for no devils to cast out. Y'all do all that you want to. Everybody listen to me.
Good.
But there's going to be people cast out devils. And going to hell.
Yes, sir.
I didn't write this. I'm just reading it. It's in y'all's if you got a King James.
That's right.
I don't know what it is in them other things. Amen. I felt a little kink
Go
on
ahead.
That.
Go ahead.
Hey, man, Brother Tony right there.
Amen.
If y'all won't help me, I'll help myself
Amen.
Preach.
Good.
Not everybody that thinks they're going is going.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of religious people in hell right now. I mean, man, they went through the sacraments.
Yeah.
They was christened.
Yeah.
Split hell wide open.
Right.
They've been baptized, capsized, simonized. You can be baptized till every tadpole in the creek knows your social security number and die and go to hell. It don't matter how many churches you've joined.
That's right.
How many cards you've signed.
That's right. Amen.
To him that cometh to me. I don't know why I was casting him out. You have to come to Christ.
That's right.
In repentance and faith and believe God died for you.
Yes, sir.
All that religious talk ain't going to get it.
That's right.
If everybody had a cross around their neck was going to heaven, everybody in Oklahoma would be there. Somebody say amen.
Right. Come on.
Everybody got some kind of St. Christopher on the dashboard. That's like a rabbit's foot. Look at me. That ain't no good. Didn't do good. Didn't do any luck for the rabbit. Somebody help me. Y'all still with me? What you need is to be born again.
Yeah.
What you need is salvation by grace through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Yeah.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Yes, amen.
He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Yeah.
Either you're saved or you're unsaved.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Either you got a peace on the inside, an assurance on the inside, you're heaven bound, or you're under conviction right now while I'm preaching.
Yeah.
And the Holy Ghost is trying to make you aware. Trying to wake you up. The alarm's going off.
Yes, sir.
Hey, the smoke alarm's going off. He's trying to get your attention this morning.
Yes,
notice verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Jot this down. There's no second chances after death.
That's right.
You got one life. I think the average span of life now, males in America are 74. The Word of God said He gives you 70. That's 70. You only get one chance at this thing. If you mess it up in this life, there ain't no second chances after that. I've evaded more appointments in my life. I get out of things. Look at me. I know how to get out of stuff. I'm a professional at it. I remember when I was a child, I was probably your age. Are you 7? Are you 6? Are you 5? Okay, 5? 7. You 7? Are you married yet? Well, wait a little while. When I was about 8 years old, I had a cavity. You ever get cavities? And we was from the country, and it was on a Friday evening, and it was one of those exposed nerves, and when the wind would hit it, boy, it killed me. I mean, it hurt. But my mama's so old-timey, ma'am, that she wore her knees out on her swimsuit. That's an old-timey person right there. She's so country, she spells it with a K. But my mama knew some. I couldn't get to the dentist on Friday, and she said, "Well, what are we gonna do?" And she got a piece of cotton, and she took a toothpick and jabbed that cotton down in my cavity, and packed it good. And she got some of that McCormick vanilla flavoring, but it wasn't. It was pure. It's at 90 proof. I think it had bones and skull and crossbones on the side of the bottle. I mean, it wasn't that imitation vanilla flavor, and it was that McCormick, had that brown bottle with that white top. And I'm talking about, sir, when you opened it up, you could smell it. Stout. And she'd take that and douse that on my cavity, and it numbed me. I mean, you know what I'm saying. Mama, I think I need some medicine. Like Otis Campbell walking around over there. And when it would wear off, she'd get me a little more. And come Monday morning, man, I knew the dentist appointment was coming. And I knew I was going. And dentists will lie to you, like in false prophets. A dentist will tell you, you're going to feel a prick. Have you ever heard that? And it feels like a 10-penny nail and a ball-peen hammer drove through your jaw. And then I got to think about that drill. I could smell the bone burning. I don't like dentists. And I told Mama, I got in there Monday morning. I said, "Mama, you ain't going to believe this. Glory to God, I've been healed. I mean, God's touched my jaw. My tooth's not hurting anymore." And she said, "Is that right, son?" I said, "Yeah, y'all must have been praying for me." I said, "Where's that vanilla extract?" I'm going to tell you one appointment you can't break. There's an appointment called the White Throne Judgment. Saints ain't going to bypass the Bema seat either.
That's right.
There's a believer's judgment. We're going to answer for the opportunities that we've had to serve Him.
Right.
But lost people are going to stand at the white throne judgment for God Almighty. And the bride, that's us, and the book, and the Holy Ghost are going to judge sinners.
Amen.
Now listen to me real close. If you leave this building lost this morning and die in a car accident, or die with some terminal illness, or the trump of God sounds before you get saved, you're going to look back on this service. You won't remember my name probably. But at that white throne judgment, God Almighty's going to say, "Tell me about it." And you're going to say, "Well, I was mistreated as a child. I was abused." You're going to throw all your little excuses. And you go, "Well, what about that Sunday they had that old-fashioned day?" And then people invited you to church. And that old preacher from Tennessee, that hillbilly preacher, got up and he got to preaching about hell. And you didn't like it.
Yeah.
And then he got to preaching to you and you was ready to get up and leave.
Come on now.
And you walked out the back door and rejected Christ. What about that day? Let me tell you something, sir. That's going to happen just as sure as I'm standing on this slab. Yep, just as sure as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Hey, friend, we're going to stand for God. Eyeball to eyeball. You're going to be judged for your belief or your unbelief.
Yes, sir.
And you ain't going to be popping gum, telling a bunch of Pollock jokes.
Right.
Laughing.
Yeah.
It's going to be dead serious.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be dead serious, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. There is a hell. There's a hell. Not everybody's going to heaven. More people's going to hell than going to heaven. I hate it. I don't like it. False prophets are barefaced lying to y'all all the time. Some people think they're going, ain't going. No second chances after death. And I'm through with this. We'll be going over yonder to eat. This might be your last opportunity to be saved.
Yes. Yes.
You say, I don't like that high pressure preaching. I don't want you trying to twist my arm. Well, Bible said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men.
Exactly.
If I could twist your arm to be saved, I would. If I thought I could wrestle you and get you in a baptistry and that'd save you, I'm stout enough to do. I could put, well, some of you women I may have a difficult time with. Somebody said, you too big and slow to whoop me. I'll just whoop you slowly then. Amen. I'd lock them doors. I'd get somebody to guard these doors. Brandon, get that door. And we'd put the bodyguards in. And I'd baptize everybody in here if I thought that's how it worked.
Right.
I'd make you get saved.
Right.
But see, I can't do that.
That's right.
Salvation's an act of the will.
That's right.
It's personal.
Yes.
It's personal.
Right.
This might be a... can I give this illustration in close? I was preaching in a meeting, and a preacher, it was two of us preaching, and the preacher got up. And before me, he was a guest preacher like I am here. And he got up. Man, he preached a salvation message. Preacher's unbelievable. It was one of them kind that if I wasn't already saved, I'd have went down there and got saved. It was so he bragged on Jesus. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Fanny Crosby wrote that song, I Love to Tell the Story to Those Who Know It Best, because they seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And man, he bragged on Jesus. Man, made heaven sound so sweet. Heather... If I could have, I'd have went down there and got saved again. But I was already saved. But I sure liked hearing that gospel. Oh, yes. I liked hearing that gospel. It's a sweet sound. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It's still sweet after being saved over 35 years, sir, and it's still sweet to me. Hey, man. It's still sweet to me. I wanted to get saved, ma'am, but I was already saved. And he preached such a message. And guess what he did? He gave an invitation. He said, every head bowed, every eye closed, everybody standing. And he said, I'm fixed to ask you to, if you're lost and not sure about your eternal destination, don't matter how religious you are, don't matter how good you're trying to be, but if you've got doubts about eternity, don't gamble. Get in this altar and get saved.
Yes, sir.
And I thought, man, people would start coming. It was a huge crowd.
Yes, sir.
It was huge.
Yes, sir.
And I thought, man, people's going to get saved. I was getting my Bible ready to start dealing with people. I was going to pray with some people because, well, man, they sang one verse, two verses, nobody came. And I thought, man, something wrong here. And I'm just an invited pastor, preacher. And finally, after about three verses, that preacher got a little bit frustrated. He said, okay, we're going to sing one more verse. And if you don't come on this, you'll just have to die and go to hell. Well, that ticked me off. Because I thought, now, if I was the pastor of this church, as much as I like that man, I'd put my arm around his back and say, Hoss, I got it from here. Because
right.
You can't tell people this is the last verse, you can die and go to hell.
Because
you don't know that this is the last chance they got.
Right.
It made me mad, you know, righteously indignated. What that means in the scripture is mad as a junkyard dog.
Go ahead now.
I was mad as a junkyard dog, ma'am. And I said, I ain't believing he said that to them. And then while I was sitting there right where Brother Rose sitting, right exactly where you're sitting on the platform, the Holy Ghost smote me on the inside and said, but what if he had told them, y'all go on home and you can come back tonight and get saved. You don't have to get saved now after hearing the gospel, after hearing the presentation of the greatest story I've been told. You go on getting your car. You think about it a while.
Good.
He don't know that they're not going to have a head-on collision with one of these blue pill-taking bunch of fentanyl addicts. Running around, he can't stand up straight.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. He don't know he's going to run into some drunkard. High as a Halloween cat's back.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Right.
You don't know you got it tomorrow. You don't know that your heart, sir. Listen, you don't know that your heart's like, it's like a time. It may stop. Hey, right now it could stop.
Yeah.
You don't have control over that.
That's
And the Holy Ghost smote me, Brandon, and said, if he had have told them to go on and come back later, he'd have been just as wrong.
Yeah.
Think about what I'm saying.
Right.
It made me mad because he said, go on, if you're going to die and go to hell, go on. That made me mad. I'm talking about mad. But then I said, Lord, I got burdened. Because this might be your last chance to be saved.
Yeah, right.
Help. Yes. Oh, I can come back tomorrow. No, Proverbs 27:1 said, boast not thyself on tomorrow.
Right.
For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth.
Exactly right.
I believe in a whosoever will salvation.
Amen.
I'm not a Calvinist in any shape.
Right.
But I don't believe in a whensoever will.
That's right. That's right.
I don't believe a bit you can just decide when you're going to get
right.
saved.
That's right.
Right now, if the Holy Ghost is visiting you, and your heart's starting to pound. And you're saying, I wish he'd hurry up and get through. I wish we could go eat. I wish we could go eat. I want to go home. I want to go watch a ball game. If you're trying, listen, what that is, that's Holy Ghost conviction.
Yes, sir.
And that's God trying to save your soul.
Yes, sir.
In just a minute, we're going to stand together. And these altars are going to be opened.
Yes.
First thing, if you're here and you're saved, you're a church member here or you're a member somewhere else, but you know the Lord. And you're saved. We ought to be burdened for those who aren't. Because
right.
this ain't no make-believe thing. This is real.
Yeah.
We ought to be burdened. And if I was here and I was a Christian, and I had a lost loved one, lost friend, and maybe if they're in this room, if I had somebody in this room that I was concerned about their soul,
yeah.
I'd get in this altar. When she starts playing that first note, I'd get in and start praying for them that God would save them.
Right.
Save them today. I'd get in this altar if I had someone in the, under this roof sitting in this sanctuary that I was concerned about their soul. I'd get in this altar and start praying. If I had a daughter or son I was worried about, I'd get in and pray for my daughter or son.
Yes.
If I had a wife or a husband, I'd get in and pray for them.
Right.
If you got somebody outside these walls, I'd pray for them.
Amen.
But heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. I want to ask you this question. How many say, Brother Tony, I'm not sure 100%. That if I died today, that I'd go to heaven. I'm not 100% sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. And by the uplifted hand, you're raising your hand and say, pray for me because I don't want to miss heaven. And if I can know I'm going, I want to know. I do not want to miss heaven. The gift of God's eternal life, and I don't want to miss it. Pray for me by the uplifted hand. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I just want to pray. Say, pray for me. I'm not sure about my eternal destination. I'm not sure about heaven. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Just slip up your hand, you put it right back down. Say, I'm not sure I've got a home in heaven. I'm not sure my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Just be honest. Be honest. You got to be honest before you can get saved. That's me. Okay, how many is thinking of somebody you love, somebody you labor with that needs to be saved? Would you lift up your hand? You're thinking about people like that, neighbors, friends, loved ones. We're going to stand together. Pianist's going to begin playing. Don't quench the Holy Ghost. Don't grieve Him. One of the worst sins against the Holy Spirit is to resist Him. Now, there's no doubt there's conviction in this room.
Amen.
I felt the Holy Ghost conviction.
Amen.
It's awful to grieve Him. It's awful to quench Him. But I tell you what's worse is to resist Him.
Yes.
If God's drawing you today, you're lost. You're not sure you're saved. Man, don't gamble tomorrow. Don't gamble on another week. Don't gamble on next Sunday. Would you come trust Him today? Would you come trust Him?